Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to discuss Saul's downfall. Saul had four problems that caused his downfall: pride, the fear of man, envy, and an evil spirit from the Lord. Now, three of these were his problems: pride, the fear of man, and envy. The fourth was given to him by the Lord as a result of the first three. So what we're going to do is we're going to study King Saul, and we're going to study how these problems of pride, the fear of man, and envy manifested themselves in Saul's life and how they affected him. As we do, you need to check how these problems may be affecting your own life. I need to check how these problems may be affecting my life. Because how they affected Saul is how they're going to affect you. How they affected Saul is how they're going to affect me. Now, Saul's downfall resulted from, first of all, pride. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. There's a lot of scripture here, so we've got to be careful to rely upon your knowledge of the passage, knowledge of the man, and then kind of just hit some high points. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. Samuel is talking to Saul after his disobedience when he didn't do what God told him to do in smiting Amalek. And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel?" Notice, when thou wast little in thy sight. At the beginning of Saul's reign, he was little in his own sight. He was humble. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, when it comes time to anoint the king and proclaim the king before Israel, Saul is taken and they can't find him. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 22, they say he hath hid himself among the stuff. So he's, he recognizes, hey, I'm from a small tribe and I'm the least. All right? Why are you talking about me being the king? Now, during Saul's reign, it became evident that he was very proud. For instance, when he offered the sacrifice at Gilgal, he justified himself by saying, "The people was scattered from me." 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" When he offered the burnt offering at Gilgal, Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me." That's pride. After failing to keep the commandment of God in his battle against Amalek in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13, Saul says to Samuel, when Samuel comes to him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." That's pride. Even after he was proven wrong, he said in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 20, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." When he was rejected by the Lord in the same chapter, and Samuel says, "I'm leaving," Saul said, "No, stay with me that I may worship the Lord." Why? He asked Samuel to stay with him. Watch. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30. He said, "I have sinned. Yet," watch it, "honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel." and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. He wasn't interested in worshiping God. He was interested in the honor that he would get by Samuel being there when he was, quote unquote, worshiping the Lord. Honor me now, I pray thee. When David escaped to Adullam in 1 Samuel chapter 22, Saul complained to his men in verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 8, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Pride, pride, pride. It was Saul's pride that compelled him to pretend to be spiritual, that honoring me when I worship the Lord. He used the worship of God to bring himself personal honor. In this regard, you know what he was? He was just like the proud Pharisees in Jesus' day. Absolutely. Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees, and in John chapter 5, verse 44, John chapter 5, verse 44, he said, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" When Jesus Christ was giving his scathing rebuke of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, he said of them in verse 2, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." And in Matthew 23:5, he said, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." What is that? That's just drawing attention to themselves. When the battle in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when the battle continued after Jonathan had the initial success against the garrison in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul made an oath among all the people. And in verse 24, he said this, 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24, not 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24, he said this, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies, so none of the people tasted any food." This wasn't about God. This was about Saul. Look at the difference between Saul and Jonathan. Look at the difference between Saul and David. Jonathan, when he fought, depended upon the Lord. And the Lord fought for Jonathan. And it was real. It was sincere. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6, when Jonathan talks to his armor bearer, he said to the young man, in 1 Samuel 14:6, he said, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And the Lord did work for him. In verse 12, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." He hadn't done it yet, but Jonathan had so much faith that when the garrison said for them to come up, that this was a sign from the Lord that the Lord was going to deliver Israel that day. And the Lord did, verse 23. "So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth-Aven." Everybody knew it. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 45, the people said unto Saul, "Shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. For he hath wrought with God this day." Everybody knew it. Jonathan wasn't in these battles for his own acclaim. He was in these battles because that's what God needed him to do, and God worked with him. David, same way, depended upon the Lord, and the Lord fought for David. Look at the battle with Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. Why? At the end of verse 46, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, not a king in Israel, a God in Israel. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And that's exactly what the Lord did. David hit him in the forehead with a stone that sunk into his forehead. He fell down, and David used Goliath's own sword to cut Goliath's head off. These men had real faith in the Lord, and the Lord blessed them for his glory, not for theirs. By contrast, listen, Saul used the Lord for his own glory. Now I want to ask you something. How about you? Are you being spiritual, quote unquote, so you can attract attention to yourself? Are you using God for your own personal recognition so people can say, oh, what a godly person this man is or this woman is? Oh, look at them. They are so faithful. Who's getting the glory in your life? Pride. Pride. You better watch it. It can be your downfall. Saul's downfall resulted not only from his pride, but it also resulted from the fear of man. Saul started out as a good man. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. He was a good man when he started out. He had a son, speaking of Kish. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Started out good. Matter of fact, the Spirit of God came upon him. 1 Samuel 10:10. When they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Spirit of God was on him. And the Lord gave Israel victory through Saul in battle. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 11. When Jabesh-Gilead was being threatened by Nahash the Ammonite, Saul led the armies of Israel, got them together, got the whole group together, and then led them through a night march, and then they fought for the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and they won the battle. And you know who did it? It was God. In verse 6, the Spirit of God came upon Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 11. And in verse 13, when there was some disagreement because some men said they didn't want Saul to reign over them, Saul said in 1 Samuel 11:13, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Boy, it started out right, didn't it? Oh, God's getting the credit. Spirit of God's on him. Good man. The Lord gave Israel victory through him in battle, and he gave God the credit. But God knew something about the people, and he knew something about Saul. So God, after his initial success, gave some conditions for Israel's continued success. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, he says, If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. They, that is Israel, and their king, that is Saul, were to fear God among these other things. But that's not what happened. After this, the next problem appeared. Saul feared his own people. And listen, when you fear people, you don't fear God. When you fear man, you don't fear God. And Saul feared his own people. But you know, the strange thing about it is Saul was not afraid to use God to mitigate that fear. For instance, when the Philistines gathered to avenge their losses after Jonathan defeated the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the people had hid themselves from Saul, Saul offered a burnt offering to keep the rest of the people from fleeing. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, look at verse 6. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. This is not a good day. Not a good day at all. And then in verse 8, when he tarried 7 days, that is, Saul is waiting on Samuel to come. When he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. This was not a good situation at all. Saul started shaking in his boots, lost his confidence. Why? He didn't have strong faith in God. What did he do? He offered a burnt offering. Why did he do it? Verse 11, 1 Samuel 13, 11. Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Watch it, because I saw that the people were scattered from me." He's afraid. They were running. And when you fear men, you don't fear God. And this was a terrible sin. It cost him the kingdom right here. "You've done foolishly," Samuel said. "Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God." Verse 14, "Now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over the people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Ooh, man, bad consequences there. Later, we see another instance of this. Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 14, called for the priest to bring the ark after Jonathan and his armor bearer killed the garrison of 20 men between Michmash and Gibeah. In 1 Samuel 14, that's where Jonathan, the armor bearer, crawl up between the two sharp rocks and fight that garrison, and about 20 men die within about a half acre of land, 1 Samuel 14:14. But then that started a trembling in the host, and now they're beating down one another. And when this happens, when the multitude is melting away and they're beating down one another in verse 16, first thing that Saul wants to know is who's not here, and they find out that Jonathan and his armor bearer are gone. And then in verse 18, strange thing, Saul said to Ahiah, "Bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel." Strange thing. That's the first thing you want to do. What's that all about? He was just using the ark for the same effect that the elders of Israel had used it back in 1 Samuel chapter 4. That's all he was doing. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, when the Israelites weren't doing very good against the Philistines, the elders said, "You know what we need to do? We need to bring the ark down here. Fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us." 1 Samuel 4:3. "That it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." So they brought it in. And when the ark showed up, they shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again in verse 5. That's exactly what Saul was doing. He was just using the ark to make it look like God was on his side. It was for show. There was no fear of God in that decision at all. Later in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when Saul disobeyed the commandment of the Lord in his battle against Amalek, you know, when they didn't kill the best of the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels, he finally confessed why he did that. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned." Why? "I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Now, he justified his decision by offering to sacrifice some of the spoil to the Lord. In verse 21, he tells Samuel, "The people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." It was all for show. He was just like the Pharisees. He was just like the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 46, in Mark 11, 32, and Mark 12, 12. They didn't do what they wanted to do to Jesus Christ when they wanted to do it. You know why? Because they feared the people. It was just a big religious show for the people. Now I want to ask you something, and this is one of those look in the mirror and check yourself out deals. Is your worship motivated by the fear of man? Do you do what you do on pretense for the Lord because some man is watching, because you fear man, either because that fear has been put on you by the pastor, or you are the pastor and you fear the people that you're pastoring? I've known many a man to do it. I had a man tell me he wouldn't preach everything that this Bible said because he was afraid half the people of his congregation would leave, and then who would pay the bills? It's a show when it gets to that. If you can't preach, pastor, and do what you do for the Lord out of the fear of God, then you're doing it for the fear of man. That's the wrong reason, and that can be your downfall. Here's the next one. Envy, 1 Samuel 13, verses 3 and 4. Oh, terrible, terrible. 1 Samuel 13, 3 and 4. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." You know what they heard? All Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had an abomination with the Philistines. Saul didn't do that. Jonathan did that. Saul could not stand anyone else getting more credit than him for Israel's victories. Jonathan smote that garrison, but Saul took the credit. When God used Jonathan and his armor bearer to start the great victory against the Philistines in 1 Samuel 14, Saul was ready to kill Jonathan over that. Saul asked counsel of God, and God wouldn't answer him that day. So he makes this deal. He says, well, let's see where this sin is. And you know what he does? He casts lot to see who violated the curse that we talked about earlier. Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening. Jonathan violated that curse because he hadn't heard it. Verse 27, Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with that oath. So he ate some honey. And then he told everybody when he found out what the oath was, that was dumb. Look how my eyes have been enlightened. So when Saul can't get an answer from God, he's saying, boy, there's some big sin. We got to know and see wherein this sin hath been this day, he says in verse 38. So they go through this casting of lots, but I'm going to tell you what. His desire is to take Jonathan out. He says in 1 Samuel 14, 39, as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. He wanted Jonathan dead. He really did. And he knew when they cast lots that Jonathan would be selected, because Jonathan was the only one who wasn't there when he gave the oath. He knew that. But in verse 44, the people spared Jonathan, even though Saul had said in verse 44, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. You think, how in the world could he kill his own son? He could because he envied him. God used Jonathan, not Saul, to win that victory. Saul couldn't stand it. And when it came to David, the situation was even worse. After David killed Goliath and then performed valiantly in battle, Saul could not stand David. No way. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, in verses 7 and 8, the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me have they ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Boy, he did. Yes, he did. He couldn't stand him. As David continued to have success, the problem only grew worse. In verses 28 and 29 of 1 Samuel chapter 18, Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. And you know from reading 1 Samuel that Saul pursued David until he finally left Judah and fled with his men to Achish among the Philistines. And in this regard, Saul was just like the Pharisees. Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered Jesus to him. The Pharisees couldn't stand Jesus because Jesus had more power and more of a following than they did. I want to ask you a question. Who do you envy that the Lord appears to bless more than he blesses you? Are you a pastor with a small work and you know somebody with a bigger work and you're trying to do all these things to get a bigger work like he has? That's envy. Who do you see that seems to have a great prayer life better than yours, and now you're doing the things you do because you want to have what they have? That's envy. and that's the wrong reason. And it will destroy you spiritually and be your downfall. You want to be like Jesus Christ, not like by somebody that Jesus Christ is blessing. You want to be like Jesus Christ. You don't want to pull down somebody else that God is blessing. There's some good men that have fought hard for God and God's words, and we know that they have been absolutely maligned by other people who are not doing for God what these men have done, and they bring them down. Why do they badmouth them? Why do they complain about them? Because God's blessing them, and they can't stand it. Is that you? Now, one other thing that happened, we've got to say so spiritually, very quickly, is there was an evil spirit that came on Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. The spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. This aspect of Saul's problems explains his drastic mood swings. On the one hand, he loved David and was glad to have him with him, even called him my son. But on the other hand, he was obsessed with killing David. He relentlessly pursued David to kill him. And then when he'd get caught in his attempt to kill David, he would repent and say, oh, I'm so sorry, you're right, I've sinned. Man, this strange, inconsistent behavior was the work of that evil spirit in Saul. And I want to ask you something. I know we had to treat this aspect of the problem fairly quickly, but what similar evidence is there that an evil spirit might be messing with you, where on the one hand you're gung-ho about some other folks and the way God's doing things, and then, boy, you switch like Jekyll and Hyde? Maybe that's not just physical. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you need to check. Listen, pride, the fear of man, and envy will ruin you in your walk with God. Like Saul, it may take years for these things to reveal themselves in their fullness and full bloom in your life. If you recognize any of these things in you now, cut them off before an evil spirit takes hold and really messes you up. Pride and envy and the fear of man were Saul's downfall. Don't let them be yours. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.